It smells a lot better in the women's ministry meetings than the men's ministry meetings. So for some of you may remember, we hosted a men's conference here a few years back, and it was on a Saturday, and we had all these men here, and it was in the summer, and it actually smelled in here. So didn't it? Right? Yeah, I'm not kidding. So yeah, so I like this a lot better. So will you guys join me in prayer, please? Or should I say, will you gals, should I say that? Or you girls say that? Lord Jesus, thank you for Mary. Thank you for the word that you brought forth from her that has resonated with all of us, Lord, and has spoke to our hearts. And I thank you for how she is facing this particular trial, Lord, and we are all just so grateful to see her faith just emerge and shine forth. And Lord, I know that she will give you all the glory for that. I think even she's surprised at how you're working in her life, giving her a peace that goes beyond all understanding, Lord. And in these just the next few minutes, I pray, Lord, that you would give me something to say that would really make a difference, Lord, that they wouldn't just be words, but they would be your words, and they would really make a difference, Lord. We all are in need of hearing from you, of being touched by you, of being encouraged by you. We all need to know you more deeply, Lord. We all need to know you're near and that you're close, Lord. And so I just want to stand on your promises, Lord, that as we call out to you, Lord, that you will answer us, Lord, and that you are an ever-present help in time of need, Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So as Kim mentioned, as you're starting this new session of the women's ministry, it really does make a difference in the body of Christ when we have our women's ministry going well. You just sense this calm and this power and this strength that's in the church, and especially in the unique way that God works in women's life and the role that God has for women within the body of Christ. It's a tangible difference. I'm not kidding. It really makes a big difference. So as the women's ministry is gearing up again, I'm really excited about that. And I want to encourage you in these next few minutes. Kim asked me to share a little bit, and she wants me to kind of give you the theology and the structure. And I'll give you a little bit of that. But I really, the Lord is pressing on my heart a few things that I'd like to encourage you with as well. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Psalm 46. Psalm 46 for many people is a psalm that they often quote. It's a psalm that they have found great strength in. It's a psalm that they have been encouraged by, and it's a powerful psalm. For some people, it's their favorite psalm. So during the course of those sessions, as the women's ministry begins, they'll be going through each of those verses and breaking down those verses and applying those verses. And I think you'll all be really encouraged by that. As they're doing that, I want to encourage you to also look at the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Most commentators think that that's the backdrop for that particular psalm, and it's good when you're studying psalms to kind of ask yourself, well, who wrote this and why did they write this? One commentator said that listening or reading a psalm is kind of like looking over the shoulder of David or Asaph or the sons of Korah, and just kind of getting a little behind-the-scenes feeling of what they're really feeling when they're going through whatever they were going through. So A lot of those psalms, they have references to particular events that happen. And so if you can connect those things and say, okay, this psalm, like Psalm 46, why was this written? Who wrote it? The sons of Korah wrote it. Who are they? Well, they are the descendants of a guy that rebelled against Moses, and God judged him, and fire came down, and 250 people died with him because he was rebelling against Moses, which he was rebelling against the Lord. But his sons survived, and they had a ministry within the tabernacle and the temple. They were Levites. They were priests, particularly assigned the duties of music. So you'll find some psalms that are actually written by them. Psalm 46 is written by the sons of Korah. So as you look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and by the way, it wasn't too long ago that we have gone through the whole book of Psalms. And I remember going through the book of Psalms and just thinking, you know, that's how David actually felt. You know, sometimes you feel like, I wish I could be a fly on the wall there, you know, when David was, you know, trying to hide and run from Saul, and he was, you know, faking like he was a madman and drooling so he didn't get killed. And I was like, and you just think, I wonder what was going through his mind. Well, we can know. These things are written down in the book of Psalms, so we can know those things. So in 2 Chronicles 20, Jehoshaphat was the king at the time, and he was being threatened by the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the group of people from the mountain of Seir, S-E-I-R. And so he got word of this attack. So it's kind of like being in a situation where you know something's coming, but you can't do anything about it. So what do you do in those situations? Psalm 46. So he cried out to the Lord. And God gave his word to somebody named Jahael. And he said, look, this is what the Lord said. They're going to come. It's going to happen. But be still, stand still, and let the Lord take care of the battle. So that's the backdrop for this psalm. And it's likely that this psalm was sang during that time. Because when they began to sing and praise the Lord is when they had the victory. So you start seeing these connections, right? So what does that mean for us, and how does this all tie in? And that's what I want to talk to you about in these next few minutes. I'm not sure, when are we supposed to end? That's always good for me to know. Okay. So here's what I want to talk about. And it really ties in with what Mary talked about. And it was really something that the Lord was speaking to my heart about tonight, and I couldn't shake it. And it has to do with perseverance. In other words, I want to look at how all of you and me, how we can finish well. Mary spoke so great about that. And we're all, if I were to ask you what's going on in your life, you'd probably have a thing, or many things, or several things. As Christians, we have to know how to finish well. To finish well, first of all, we have to know that there's going to be a finish line. There's going to be a time. There's going to be an end. There's going to be, everything's headed towards somewhere. How are we going to be on that day? Be honest with you, I think about that a lot. I think about what Paul said to Timothy, that my time is here. My time of departure is near. And he knew it. You remember what he said? There's laid up for me these crowns. He gave this picture to Timothy about his departure. That's what he called it, a departure. And he gave this picture as a picture of a ship that was tied to the dock that's being set out into the open sea. And he said, that's what's at hand for me. But see, Paul, I think we'd all agree, if you've read the Bible a little bit, that he finished well. But I don't know if the people from the earthly standpoint would have thought he finished well. Do you think they would have thought so? Only if they knew where he was going. Only if they understood what the world is all about. If they understood what eternity is all about. But see, if we don't look at things from an eternal perspective, we're going to miss the whole thing. Right? You heard Mary talk about that. We're going to miss the whole thing. But see, here's the thing now. As Christians, we have to have in our mind finishing well. We have to have in our mind this priority that we want to look at Jesus in the eyes and hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Do you want to hear him say that? You know, I think about that a lot. The older I get, the more I think about it. I want to hear him say that. So how does that all work? Because as we've discussed earlier, life is really hard, isn't it? Nobody gets out unscathed. Probably most of you are facing some, I like to think of just unhuman things. Some of you have lived life and seen horrors and tragedies and experienced those things. And you know what? It's a blessing that you're right here. You know what? That tells me that you desire to finish well. That tells me that no matter what you've gone through, here you are. That's amazing. And I want to applaud you for that. But you know, we're still here, aren't we? We're not there yet. And we know there's going to be a there. And so I want to talk about perseverance. And I don't want to talk about just limping to the finish line. I want to talk about sprinting through the finish line. I want to talk about really finishing well. I want to talk about our last breath being used to the praise, glory, and honor of the Lord. In James chapter 5, verse 11, it says, indeed, we count them blessed who endure. That's a good description of life, isn't it? Endurance, enduring. It says, we count them blessed who endure. So what James is referring to and thinking about is just all those people that we read about in the Bible, those figures, those sometimes we think they're just characters and it's hard to really remember that those are real people that really went through those real events and they're not just people that are fictional characters. So we think about them and you think about your favorite person in the Bible. Who are some of your favorite people in the Bible? Anybody come to mind? Mine's John. No, just kidding. David. Peter, David. Joseph. Lydia. Ruth. Solomon. Anybody else? Paul. So, now think about some of these people that we mentioned. And think about your New Testament people especially. It's hard to find one that we admire that had it easy and just skated on easy street right in to heaven. Right? What you're going to find if you have somebody you really identify with, and you mentioned some of them, somebody you really like, you're going to hitch yourself to their wagon. Well, what does it look like when you hitch yourself to Peter's wagon? Somebody mentioned Peter. Well, when you hitch yourself to Peter's wagon, you're pretty much going to be this, you know, powerful, fruitful person who ends up dying, being crucified upside down. In prison and beaten and Paul, you know, Paul's a classic example. You go through all those characters and that's what you're going to find. Why is that? It's because there's real evil and there's really a devil and he really hates Jesus, and if Jesus is inside of you, he really hates you. So James says, we count them blessed who endure. And then he says, you have heard of the perseverance of Job. Have you guys heard of the perseverance of Job? You have to persevere just to read through the book of Job. So you've heard of the perseverance of Job. And what's a person's normal response when you... Did any of you hitch your wagon to Job? Nobody likes to have the Job thing, right? Nobody wants to say, Job, because nobody wants to go through that. But yet, isn't it true we still admire that? You look at Job's life and you say, that is amazing. That is incredible what he went through. So it says, you have heard of the perseverance of Job, and get this, you have seen the end intended by the Lord. There's something in that. So when you think about Job, a lot of times you think, man, he lost his family, he lost his riches, he had boils all over his body, he was scraping them off, he had miserable counselors, his wife was terrible, everything. And then we heard about it, but do we remember how it ended? And James says, you remember the perseverance of Job, that he went through all of that, but you know, you've seen the end that was intended by the Lord. That's important. The end is important. It's important when we look at Job, when we look at Paul, when we look at David, when we look at those people that we mentioned, it's important that we look at the end of the thing, because it says this, the end intended by the Lord is that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Do we think that when we think of Job? We don't. So good thing James reminded us, right? See, Job going through what he went through, one, it allows us to know what the Lord intended through all that. It lets us know that. Two, it tells us that for a believer in Christ, when we go through something, that God is intending something for it. It's not random. So his intention is that what the Lord is doing is that we will know that he is compassionate and merciful. So we have to know that. So as we talk about perseverance, As all of you are sitting here today, this is a great place to be. And we can look at it like, you know, no matter what's happened in the past, nothing matters. Here we are right now. So we have this opportunity. We have this opportunity to go from here, to be with the Lord, walk with the Lord, be used by the Lord. And we have this opportunity to know that our life here means something for eternity. So as we think about this, as we think about perseverance, think about your life. If you've been a Christian, a believer for a little while, as I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about, you know, some of the people that when I was younger that, you know, kind of started with me, that had similar ambitions and desires, and we kind of all fellowship together and all that. And it's just amazing to see how many people are not walking with the Lord anymore. In fact, I had a pastor that I was an assistant pastor under. He fell big time. As you walk with the Lord a while, when you start to see people that persevere, it starts to become really amazing. People that, you know, get through the quick phase where it's, you know, the honeymoon phase, but people that have been walking with the Lord 15, 20, 30 years, more than that. You know what's amazing is people like that, if you're not one of them, if you're younger, find those people. I'm not talking about age, not talking about younger in age. I'm talking about people that have walked with the Lord consistently for a long time. You want to hang out with those people. They know something. Doesn't mean they're perfect. It doesn't mean they've done everything right. But, you know, if they're still walking with the Lord after many years, after many trials, and we have many of those people here. And that's the strength of the women's ministry, is the older women being able to help guide and encourage and mentor the younger women. That's so important. So we need to have this sisterhood. Not we, but you know what I mean. But this, you guys need each other. You need each other. It's important. God has given each other, us each other, for that purpose, to help with our perseverance. And God has a specific sort of roles in those interactions. And if you're one that's kind of prone to isolation and withdrawal and you don't like to, you know, kind of mix it up with people, I just ask you to really pray about that. Because it's nothing wrong with having that tendency, but you need to persevere over that, because it's very hard to be a lone ranger Christian. God has given the body of Christ as a gift to encourage, build up, and there's some amazing godly women here. So as we talk about perseverance, I just want to take you to one place, one more place, Galatians 6:9, if you want to turn there. So how do we, with all the distractions, with all the hurts, with all the heartbreaks, and with all the disappointments, how do we keep going? Psalm 46 is going to give the keys and the ammunition to that. Psalm 46 is going to be things that you can hold on to, as the Lord is described as a refuge, as a strength, as the one who fights our battles for us, as one we can hide in. But I want to look at somebody who knows a lot about perseverance, and it's Paul. In Galatians 6:9, this verse has personally encouraged me probably the most out of any verse to keep going. And it says, "Do not," or "let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith." How are we going to make it? How are we going to thrive? How are we going to look at things that should scare us and things that should make us crumble and want to hide? How are we going to do that? How are we going to cross that finish line with our arms up in victory? And that's really what Psalm 46 is. It's a psalm of victory. So Paul says this, "Let us not grow weary while doing good." You know what he's talking about? He's talking about the crushing feeling of disappointment. Paul understands that. Paul described his life as hard-pressed on every side. All around him is this constant pressing of difficulty, hardship, evil, constant fighting, constant battling. And yet he kept going. He didn't stop. Is there something that is tempting us to stop? Or maybe something that's tempting us to coast? Are there things where we step back a little bit when God wants us to continue to grow and move forward? Let us not grow weary in doing good. That's interesting, because it can be wearisome in doing good, especially when it comes to disappointments. When it comes to those disappointments where we feel like our life is meaningless, fruitless, where it doesn't feel like we're having any impact on anybody, where we experience heartbreak after heartbreak. Maybe it's our marriages, maybe it's our children, maybe it's our just failure in our friendship, maybe it's just something with our family member, but it just seems like nothing's working. That's normal. And that's why Paul says, don't grow weary. And when he says weary, that means spiritless. You know that feeling when you just feel like you don't have it anymore. There's no oomph, listless. You feel like you're dead inside, no life inside. And he says, don't grow weary. So if he says don't grow weary, I usually would say something like, okay, I don't want to, but how do I not do that? So what are the practical things in regards to not growing weary? Psalm 46 is going to have those. But look what he says. So he says, don't grow weary while doing good. So there's a very specific point that he's making, that in our efforts to serve the Lord, in our efforts to walk worthy of the Lord, in our desires to live our life under the Lord, that there can be a tendency for us to just get worn down. And he says, don't do it. In other words, he's saying, watch that tendency, be aware of that tendency when you start to feel like that. Have any of you ever heard of Charles Spurgeon? Do you realize he sent in his letter of resignation just about every year? He did. And he suffered from great depression. The greatest preacher of all time. Wanted to quit every year. He gave it to his board members. They said, we're not taking that. You know, we've been at this for 15 years here at this fellowship. And we've seen the Lord do amazing things, but it's been hard. And but by the grace of God that we keep going. There are times on a Wednesday night we'd have a Bible study. The only people that would be there are the ones that were serving. They had to be there. It's been hard. The women's ministry, it gets discouraging. You have times, you have seasons where you work hard, you put all this in, and people, they don't come. That's part of the deal. That's part of the package. So what do we do in those situations? Do we just quit because of the result? We have a tendency to do that. I do. I'm result-oriented. So I've been tempted for the last 15 years to fold the tent. Why? Because of the results. And praise the Lord, their church is doing amazing. We have amazing people. We're seeing so much fruit now, but it's not, hasn't been always like that. It won't always be like that in your lives. So I think about what kept me going, and it was this. Even the times where I just felt like it wasn't doing anything and nobody cared and we couldn't get any momentum and it just one step forward, two steps back, what kept me going? The thing that kept me going is the Lord didn't tell me to do something else. I wasn't going to stop because it didn't look like I thought it was going to look like, even though I wanted to. What kept me going? You know what kept me going? It's just the Lord hasn't called. He called me here. So if he's going to call me here, he's going to call me to something else. And if he calls me to something else, it's not going to be backwards. It's going to be forward. So knowing that has helped me just to rest in what God's called me to do. It helped me to not be so focused on what I would perceive as results. It's helped me to enjoy what God has called me to do. It's helped me to be stable in my calling and know that it's the calling that's so important. And if God calls me, then it's up to him to call me to do something else. So that's what's kept me going. Now look what he says next. He says, and let us not grow weary while doing good. Okay, Lord, you say that, so I'm going to keep going. And yet you've given me the tools in you so I can be energized. Do you know you can be energized in the Lord? See, but he says this. This is the thing that really, really gets me. He says, for in due season, you shall reap. Those three words, you shall reap. The Lord is saying, if you continue in what I've called you to do, you shall reap. Can you guys say that? You shall reap. You shall reap. That's the promise. There it is, right there. If you will understand, if I continue in what God has called me to do, no matter what the results, no matter what it looks like, in fact, the results are all up to God, right? He, some water, some sow, but God adds the increase, the Bible says. So all I have to worry about is continuing on in what God has called me to do. And as I do that, he's saying, you will reap. That's a promise. You will reap. Well, what do you mean I'll reap? Right before this section of scripture, he's talking about the law of sowing and reaping, right? So the agricultural term, a farming term, sowing and reaping. So in other words, whatever I continue in the spirit will, whether I see it or not, is guaranteed to have a result, a spiritual harvest that God will bring forth simply by my continuing in what he's called me to do. That's it. That's the whole thing right there. So how do we not grow weary in well-doing? And I think I'm out of time, but that I gave you the whole answer. It's right. This is earth-shattering. It was for me. And you know what? I needed God to show me that years back when life seemed like it was caving in. I needed God to say, John, continue on in what I've called you to do, and you shall reap. But you know what? He says, in due season. You know, the reaping didn't happen like that. Remember, Mary doesn't like waiting? Hey, here's the thing about waiting. Farmers plant the seed. They know it's in there. And they know something's going to come out. That's how we keep going. We're sowing spiritual seeds. We walk in the Spirit. We do the things of God that he's called us to do. And we take every opportunity to sow. And if you know you keep sowing, you know God's giving you the promise, you're going to reap. And I rest in that. And I've seen tangible reaping, but you know, maybe we won't even have that. Maybe the reaping will be all in heaven. You know what? That's okay with me too. Because what I've discovered through all this, and I'm concluding now, what I've discovered through all this, it's not whether we have a big harvest or a small harvest, if we're in a good season or a bad season. All that matters is that Jesus is Lord of all. And he's the prize. He is always the prize in every season, and he's enough. He's what you'll ever need. And if he's not enough, fall on your face before Jesus. Bow your knee to him. Let him have control of your life, and you have this promise, you shall reap. So don't lose heart. Amen. My favorite color is red. I like my steak raw. No, are you closing, or what happens?